Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and welcome to another episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. I am your host, Arsenius Jackson, coming to you from the state of South Carolina, and I'm so delighted that you have chosen to join in and listen for another show. Hopefully after tonight, you are uplifted, you are empowered, you are motivated and encouraged, but most importantly, drawn even closer to God, and I hope your relationship continues to be strengthened. But again, thank you for tuning in. Again, I am Arsenius Jackson with One Touch Transformation, and you are listening to Purpose Kingdom Network. Just in case this is your first time tuning in with One Touch Transformation, I do want to share a little bit about the organization. It is a nonprofit organization which started in January of 2014, and it simply started off my story of surviving and overcoming childhood sexual abuse. So let me tell you. For 20 years, I was silent about, you know, the whole abuse of how it occurred, when it happened. And so I was silent. I did not feel like anyone would ever understand anything that I'd gone through. And so, I mean, there were so many other reasons why I remained silent during that time. But a few things that I could point out or what I could share, and maybe, you know, it'll help you understand why other victims and survivors remain silent for so long, because sometimes that's one of the biggest questions that people ask. It's not the best question to ask. Let me point that out. Just want to let you know that it's not the best question to ask. Often we'll hear people either hear it or see it posted. Like, why did they wait so long to say something, especially when it involves, you know, prominent people? And, you know, again, another reason why people don't say anything. So it's one of those things that people wonder, why do they remain silent for so long? Or why do they wait so long before they say anything? Well, let me share a few reasons of why I remain silent for so long. Number one, I was, you know, embarrassed that it did happen. You know, yes, it comes with a feeling of embarrassment. I was ashamed because, you know, it involved my body, which supposedly belonged to me. And, you know, I was violated. And so, yes, I was embarrassed. I was ashamed because I felt like I let it happen. Even though I was only 6 years old, at the same time, I was embarrassed. I was ashamed because I was too young and, you know, the weaker person in, you know, involved, because it was with a grown man. And so I was too young and too weak to even yell out or to say anything, to say stop. And so, again, that brought along embarrassment and this feeling of shamefulness, because I'm like, why didn't I say anything? Why didn't I say stop? Why didn't I try to run? So I have all these questions in my head. I was fearful of what could happen to the family. I was afraid that I would be the one that would break the family up because it involved a family member. And so, again, like, okay, if I say something, what happens if someone tries to kill my uncle? What happens if I'm the cause of him going to jail? What happens if my dad or my brothers are so upset that they do something that they may regret later on, or they could get in trouble for or go to jail? So I had all of these questions. So we have fear, you have shame, you have embarrassment. And I could go on and on for other reasons, but these are just some of the reasons why victims remain silent for years. And we try to suppress these memories. We try to, you know, put them in the back of our head so that we'll forget about it. And we may trick ourselves into thinking that we forgot about what happened, but in reality, it's still there. It's still there. And the reason why we know that it's still there, because we are often reminded by the different triggers that occur throughout our lives, things that people say, things that people do, some of the things that we smell, some of the things that we see. They often trigger us back to the moment or those moments when we were being abused or when we were being touched, when we were being violated. And so that's why I said that is not the best question to ask a victim or a survivor. Why did you wait so long to say something? Because in the moment,
sometimes you don't know how to respond. You freeze up, and you can't help it. It's how your body reacts, and everyone is going to respond in a different way. Everyone is not going to be able to run away, to yell, or to say stop, because in that moment, your body goes into a shocking phase, and so you're kind of frozen in that moment, and you can't move. You literally cannot move. And so, again, those are just some reasons why victims wait a long time before they are able to say anything. And if it's someone prominent, if it's someone prominent, they could, you know, fear the he said, she said, they're not going to believe me because I'm just this small person and they're this prominent person. So whose word are they going to take? Are they going to take my word, or are they going to take this big-time preacher or this big-time businessman? Are they going to believe him over me? Yes, more than likely, if we think about it, in the society that we live in a man's world, so more than likely, it's going to be, you know, they're going to take the word of that prominent person, whether it's a male or a female. Because remember, this not only just happens to females, it happens to males as well. Statistics let us know that 1 in 4 girls, and, you know, it a lot of times I think more emphasis is put on females, but statistics let us know that 1 in 4 females and 1 in 6 males. So it's still happening to males as well. And I'm pretty sure all of the statistics that we are able to read, they're somewhat accurate, because most victims do not come forward because of the various reasons, whether they're being afraid, whether they're being embarrassed and ashamed. So again, this is happening more than we really can, or more than they can really, you know, put down on paper, more they can keep record of, because there are a lot of people who still have not told anyone. And this is just what's reported. So, again, keep all of this in mind. This is only what's just reported, where they're able to gather the statistics. So think about the ones that are not reporting when they've been raped, when they've been molested or abused. So this is only 1 in 4. This is only going by what's been reported. 1 in 4 females and 1 in 6 males saying that they will be sexually assaulted by the age 18 or already have, you know. So One Touch Transformation, I wanted to start the organization as a, you know, a healing outlet for mice, because I did go through therapy. I went through counseling, and I was able to get a grasp on my triggers, learning what to do, how to handle them, and how to cope in a healthy way. And so after going through my sessions and after volunteering, shout out to the PD Coalition located in Florence, it taught me, or it showed me that, you know, there was more that I needed to do once I completed my sessions. I knew that there were more people out there like me, and more so, you know, in the faith-based churches and organizations. I know that, you know, there are so many still out there now, but at the time I knew that there had to be more like me who had been holding their story inside and had no one to talk to, no one to speak out to. And let me tell y'all, I feel like I'm going on a rant right now. I haven't even gotten to what I'm going to talk about tonight, but you know, to God be the glory. Someone needs to hear this. But I knew that there were more people, more, you know, ladies and males, you know, who have experienced abuse and, you know, and have been attending church faithfully, but have never said anything about it. And so I said, you know what, I knew I've got to do more. And so I started One Touch Transformation as an outlet for others to share their story and to regain their power. Because while you are healing, while you're on this journey, sometimes it may seem like that, you know, it's always dark, that there is no light at the end of the tunnel. But I'm here to encourage anyone who has been through it, who maybe experienced it now, or who is still holding on to the past or dealing with the past of abuse. I'm here to let you know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You do not have to remain in the past. You do not have to allow your past to dictate what God has destined for your life. Like, God has so much in store for you, and he does not want you to live in bondage. He said that I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And in order for us to live a life of abundance and to live abundantly, we have to be free. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to erase completely everything that has happened, but I am saying that God can give you true freedom. He can give you the peace that you need, the joy that you need, and you will be able to not only just survive, but thrive. And whatever that you put your mind to do, Satan wants you to live in the past. Satan wants you to be in bondage of your past, but God wants you to live a life of abundance, a life of freedom. And I know if God can do those things for me, then he can do it for the next person. He can do it for you, whatever your past may be, whatever may have happened to you. We do not share the same story, but every story matters. I've always, you know, let victims and survivors know that your story matters. We may have different stories, and it's okay. Your story matters. It may not have happened to you the same way that it happened to me or the next person, but guess what? Your story still matters. And there is power in your story, because I feel like God has someone out there who needs to hear your story. You may not tell your story on a huge platform, and that is okay, but there is someone out there who needs to hear your story, to hear that you too have overcome, to hear that you too have been able to beat this, to not just survive, but thrive and still be great and just succeed in everything that you do. And that's what kind of God we serve. He is great. He is awesome and so amazing in everything that he does. And it's despite whatever we go through. Yes, these things may have been meant to break you, but guess what? God intervened and he said, no, I'm not going to let you fail. I'm not going to let you fall. You are more than a conqueror. You have to really believe this and know that nothing that the devil sends your way, nothing that the enemy sends your way can keep you down. As long as you have God on your side, you will be victorious. You will be victorious, and I'm a witness to it. Despite everything that I had to fight through, that I had to go through, all of those triggering moments, yes, it hurt. Yes, it made me cry. Yes, it made me feel like that I was, you know, broken, and that I was just tarnished, and that there was no coming up from it. But God turned it around, and I can say today that I was able to break through. I was able to break free. And, you know, you still have your bad days. You still have your moments, and sometimes things may still trigger you. But you learn to overcome every time. God gives you strength to overcome each and every time. And that is my desire, to just share that with others, share that with other victims and other survivors. I'm like, look, you are not alone. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to happen overnight, but it can happen and it will happen as long as you want it, as long as you want it. So remember, you've got to make the decision to heal. You have to want to heal. You have to want to heal. You have to put in the work. And once you do, you will be victorious. You will overcome. And everything that you put your hands to do, everywhere your feet carries you, as long as God is in it, it will be blessed. You will be blessed. So I encourage you, you know, just anyone that may be listening, who knows someone who may have confided in you, like, look, let them know that there is help out there. There is help out there. And it is okay to go to counseling. It is okay to go to therapy. You know, they are in places for a reason. And these people are out there to help mend the broken hearts. God send these people. And so one of the biggest and one of the largest organizations that I always refer people to is RAIND, which stands for Rape, Abuse, Incest National Network. At the end, I'll give all this information out as far as like the helplines, the sexual assault hotline, and even information for male survivors. Because I want to go ahead and get into some other things to talk about that will still, you know, it'll still kind of coincide in what I'm saying now. You know, how God is still able to bring you out of things despite what you go through. And, you know, it's just amazing. It's amazing when you just think about everything that we go through, the things that go on around us. You know, sometimes they make us feel sad. Sometimes they make us feel heartbroken. They make us feel as if, you know, sometimes we may ask, what's next? And, you know, we've all been guilty of it. I've been guilty of it. When we think about the things that are going on in this world, I mean, there's so much going on, so much violence, so much killing and just fighting, and it's everywhere. It's everywhere. No one is, you know, exempt from it. No city, no state, no community. It's happening everywhere. And, you know, Jesus told us that these things would happen. And even though he told us it would happen, it still affects us. It still affects us. If we're honest, it still affects us because we're living in this time, in this moment, and we're going to have these real feelings. So we're affected by everything that is still going on, even though Jesus told us that it would happen. And so what I want to talk about tonight is how we view these, we'll call them circumstances, whether the circumstances in our life, whether it's happening in our life or whether it's happening around us. And so a lot of times, if we're honest, a lot of times the circumstances that go on, whether it's in our life or around our life, they pretty much dictate our feelings or dictate, you know, how we feel, how we view things. And so the two words that I want to focus on are joy and happiness. So joy and happiness. And so off the top, whenever we hear the word happiness, I don't know if you remember the movie with Will Smith, where it was called Pursuit of Happiness. He was trying to find happiness, you know, because due to circumstances, not having a good job that would make him a lot of money, and because he didn't have a good job that allowed him to make a lot of money, it affected his family life, it affected his marriage, and it affected, you know, where he was going to live, you know, things like that, all different factors. And so the overall theme of the movie, you know, The Pursuit of Happiness, you know, almost like we can refer to it like the American dream. And so usually everyone is shooting for the American dream so that they can find their happiness in life, having that perfect job, having that perfect home, the perfect house and the perfect marriage and the perfect home, you know, the big white picket fence. So, you know, pretty much everyone's happiness may look a little different, but overall, everyone wants to be happy, right? All right, so when we're talking about joy, on the other hand, usually, hopefully if you are a believer, when we hear the word joy or when we're talking about joy, we know that that is something that can only be provided by Jesus. You know, sometimes you hear people say, I have that Jesus joy. And, you know, for me, I feel that there certainly is a difference between happiness and joy, you know, being joyful or being happy. And so for me, I feel like me personally, when we're talking about joy, let's start there. When we're talking about joy, sometimes I just reflect on, you know, the maybe like the smallest things that bring us joy, the things that make us laugh, you know. Sometimes we may not be having the best day. Things may not be going the way that we want it to go. Someone may have said something that made me upset or did something that made you upset. But at the end of the day, should that dictate whether you're happy or not? If not, then that's joy. But if it does, then that's not joy. Because whether things go your way or not, whether someone hurts your feelings or does something that makes you upset, you should still have some joy left in you, you know, overall. And one of my favorite things to do is just sit and think about the little things that give me joy. You know, just find joy in the smallest things, the little things that just make you laugh. It just makes you laugh. Right before we started our show, you know, not sure how everyone's day has been going, but we were able to find joy and laughter in just some of the smallest things in our smallest conversation, things that was going on. Sometimes we may be doing some things and just laugh at ourselves. or somebody could be doing something that tells you what they're doing, and you just get a little laugh out of it. That's joy. I found that as being pure joy. You know, everything may not have gone my way today. You know, I'll be the first to let you know, like, I had a couple of stressful moments today, but I didn't allow that to stop me from, you know, being joyful. There was a moment I wanted to cry today, but guess what? I kept on going and found that joy inside of me that will allow me, you know, to keep going and not stay there. So we will have moments. We will have moments when we're, you know, not feeling okay or stressed out or just feel like we just can't get it right. But do not allow that circumstance to take your joy. Because if you do, then it's not joy. Then it's just something that makes you happy temporarily. And then if it doesn't work the next time, then you're going to be upset again. You're going to be upset again. So emotions. Emotions are things that every human being feels. We all have them. God gave us emotions. There are several emotions. And again, focusing on joy and happiness. So if you were to kind of dissect the words a little bit, I looked up a comparison chart. And so for happiness, so the emotion of happiness, and I'm sure we have heard this, it should sound familiar. So the emotion of happiness, it says outward expression of emotion. So usually you can see when someone is happy or pretending to be happy because it's going to be shown outward. So a lot of times people are pretending to be happy. They're showing that emotion on the outside because it's what we see. It's the expression we see, whether they're smiling, whether their eyes are lit up. So sometimes we can see when people are pretending to be happy. The emotion of joy says inward peace and contentment. So it's not necessarily something that you wear on the outside, but it's on the inside. And usually you can tell when someone, you should be able to discern when someone is at peace or have, you know, contentment. There is a difference, again, a difference between happiness and joy and the emotion. So remember, happiness, mainly seen on the outside, is an outward expression. And joy is an inward peace. And a lot of times, a lot of times, I would say 100% of the time, I'd rather have peace than being happy temporarily, because eventually the happiness is going to go away. But that peace, it surpasses understanding. People will wonder, how in the world is she so calm in the midst of the storm? How are you so calm when you're sharing your story? I would listen, baby, I wasn't always like this. I wasn't able to tell my story without crying, you know, making the ugly face. You know, it took me a while to get here. It wasn't until I found joy in, you know, sharing my story and being able to provide healing for others. That's where the joy comes from. That's where the peace comes from. So now I am at peace when I share my story. I do have joy. I joyfully tell my story. Now, I'm not joyous in what happened, but I am joyous in how I was able to overcome and how I am able to, you know, find my voice and share my story. That's where the joy and the peace comes from. So again, the emotion of happiness is the outward expression and joy is the inward peace and contentment. So the next line they have, it says time frame. So happiness, the time frame of happiness is temporary, based on outward circumstances. Again, circumstances, they seem to dictate our happiness. Something's not going my way. I'm mad. I'm upset. She said something I did not like. Oh, you just took away my happiness. I am no longer happy. Because you said something that I did not like. You did something that I did not like. So happiness, time frame, temporary, based on outward circumstances.
time frame for joy, lasting, based on inward circumstances. So your joy, that's what's going to last. Happiness doesn't last a long time. So instead of having a pursuit of happiness, we should have a pursuit of joy. Get a pursuit of joy. I want something that's going to last. I don't want anything that's going to be temporary. No, we should all want to go after the joy, because then you'll have peace. And it's based on inward circumstances. So instead of having a pursuit of happiness, have a pursuit of joy. I like that. I like that. The next line, it goes to talk about the causes. The causes of happiness, listen, earthly experiences, material objects. That's why people are happy. They're temporarily happy because of earthly experiences and material objects, something that can easily fade. Easily fade. We know that this earth is going to fade. Heaven and earth is going to pass away. But the word of God, that's what's everlasting. Having the spiritual relationship with God. Aiming for eternal life. I want something everlasting. Like, what's the use of going after temporary things, after material objects and earthly experiences? Now, I'm not saying anything is wrong with it. There's nothing, there's absolutely nothing wrong with positive earthly experiences. I mean, by all means, have fun. Have fun. But don't set your affection, on things on this earth. Don't let this be the only thing that you set out to do. Like, I'm satisfied if I'm able to go visit this, visit there. Okay, but, that's going to eventually end. So we can't set our affection on these earthly things, but he tells us to set it on the things above, things that are eternal. And so the causes of people being happy are earthly experiences and material objects. And that is sad. If that's the only thing that makes you happy, then I'm going to need you to do better. I'm going to need you to have a spiritual experience, which is the cause of joy. Spiritual experiences, caring for others, gratitude, thankfulness. So anytime you feel like you're not happy, list some reasons of why you're grateful. What are some things that you're thankful for? I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for people who love me, people that I love, people that I care for, people that care for me, the things that I can do for others, things that will go a long way, things that money can't necessarily buy all the time. Like, money can make you happy, temporarily, but money can't buy you more time. Money can't really buy you love. Money can't buy you spiritual experiences. Yeah. So, people say, money can make you happy. It can make you happy temporarily, but money can't save you in the end. I don't care what anyone said. Money cannot save you in the end. And a lot of times people who have so much money, they usually don't have joy. They may be happy, and they're happy because of the material objects that they're able to buy, the earthly experiences that they're able to pay for. So, yes, that's why they're happy, but do they really have joy? Do they really have peace? Not really. That's why you have so many celebrities who have committed suicide, who are just restless, not able to sleep at night, not content. They're married 2 and 3 and 4 times. Like, they're not content. They're only happy. They have no joy. They have no peace. So it's like, where's your gratitude? What are you really grateful for? What are you really thankful for? So if you ever find yourself not feeling happy, think about the things that bring you joy. Think on those things. What are some things that only you and God have experienced? What are some spiritual experiences that you have encountered? What are, just reading his word, what has made you feel joyful? Who are the people that you care about? Who are the people who care for you? What are some things that you can do to make a lasting impact on others, whether it's in your community, whether it's on your job, whether it's in the church that you attend? What are some things that you can do to help others, to show that you care for others, so that you can have this long-lasting emotion? That's joy. Those are the things that give you peace. It's not the things that you can buy, the things that you can pay for, because that feeling, it doesn't last long. Let me tell you, my dad and I, I went to my first Dallas Cowboys game. He had already been. And so, you know, I wanted to experience this, you know, this earthly experience. And so, you know, my dad and I, we flew to Dallas, and we were able to have, you know, what I call it, daddy-daughter season, daddy-daughter time at the stadium, you know, Jerry's World. And so, yes, let me tell you, that was probably the most excited I had ever been in my entire life. But, you know, I had to come back home. It was not like that experience is going to last. Now, it is a moment that I will never forget. It's a moment that I will never forget. But the reason why that moment is lasting because I was with my father, someone who I love, someone who I care about. We were able to spend time together. So that was the joy there. It wasn't just the whole, oh, we went to an NFL game, we went to the stadium, did this. That's not the experience that gave me joy. Yes, you know, the earthly experience, it made me excited. I was excited. I was happy, you know. I was in the moment. Like I said, that was probably the most exciting moment that I've ever had in my entire life. But the joy that I was able to gain from it, that still lasts today, because that was last year. That was in December. But I feel joy. I can still think back on that moment because it was such a joyous moment. Being with someone that I love, someone that I care about, someone who loves me, someone that cares about me. And so that's joy. That's the joy there. Not that we were able to pay for our flight tickets. Not that we were able to pay for our room, pay for the ticket. No. I mean, buying things don't necessarily make me happy anyway. If you know me, I like to save my money. I'm cheap. I am cheap. So buying things does not make me happy. No offense to the ones who have retail therapy. You know, I understand. I understand people who have to do retail therapy. But for me, I don't like spending money. Then people are like, what, why are you saving? You know, live in the moment. But, yeah. But anyway, the joyous moment was just being able to spend time and to have that moment go with me for the rest of my life. And so that's the joy. We talked about the time frame. All right, so the example they give for happiness, in the midst of life's ups and downs, happiness is still present. And for joy, serving others, sometimes through sacrifice with no possible personal gain, witnessing justice for the less fortunate, feeling close to a God. All right, so back to the happiness example. In the midst of life's ups and downs, happiness is still present. So even though we have these different circumstances and the things that happen to us, our life is sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. It's a roller coaster. It is a roller coaster. And yes, happiness is still out there somewhere. It is. And when we're down, we may not have it. We may not be feeling it like, look, hey, I don't have any place to put happiness. Don't come at me talking and telling me. No. You know how it is. When you really don't care to hear anything what they have to say, whenever you're going through, it's like nothing you say or nothing you do is going to make me feel any better. So, you know, sometimes we have our up and down days. So that's just life. But in joy, an example is serving others. And it's one of the greatest rewards when you're serving. Some people feel like they're so beneath serving. I don't know why. Because it's not all about what you can get. It's not always about what you can get or what someone can do for you. A lot of people miss out on the reward of serving. And sometimes you may not get paid for it. You may not get paid for it. Sometimes it's through sacrifice, like I said, with no possible personal gain. Sometimes there is no gain from serving. That's just it. That's just life. Like, and we really shouldn't look for a gain every time that we are serving. We shouldn't look for, what's in it for me. Even though we are wired to think like that, what's in it for me? If I do this, what do I get in return? But
we know that God, he will bless you. He will bless you. And it may not come in ways that we're looking for. It may be, it sometimes it's monetary, sometimes it's spiritual. So we just have to, you know, just serve in whatever capacity it may be. Serve without wanting anything in return. And whenever you do it that way, then it's sincere, it's genuine. You're doing it from the heart. Witness injustice for the less fortunate, feeling close, this says to a God, but feeling close to God. Those are examples of joy. Whenever you're spending that quality time with God, whether it's in the morning, whether it's in the afternoon, or whether it's at night, whenever you're spending time with God, it should bring you joy. I know it brings me joy. Sometimes I may just sit outside and journal, listening to music. That gives me joy. I mean, it's a great way to start the day off. But however you do it, whether it's through reading his word and journaling, however, listening to music and worshiping him, that is joy. And it gives you peace, and it makes you feel content no matter what's going on. Like I said, there is so much going on in this world, and sometimes you just kind of have to take yourself out of what's going on. I know it's impossible to escape everything, the news, but if you have to turn off the news for a while, if you need to go through your feed on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, if you feel like that you are indulging too much in the violence that's going on, hey, you can turn it off. You can turn it off. Take a break from it, because we don't want what's going on, all of these different circumstances that are going on, we don't want that to suck us from our time with God and our joy and our peace, because it can happen. We can get so consumed with everything else and lose out on our joy. We allow things to take our joy away. We allow people to take our joy away. Don't you dare allow anyone or anything to take your joy away. You know? A couple more things. The analogy they use, so for happiness, it says happiness is a state. Think of it as a 100-story building, and each level corresponds to a happiness value. And that happiness will persist for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. So happiness is a state. So think of it as a 100-story building. Each level corresponds to a happiness value. So we're steadily trying to get to the next level. We're trying to reach that 100th floor. And there's always going to be something that's keeping us from getting to the next stage or the next level. And so you're constantly, you know, fighting yourself or fighting at life, trying to get to the next level of happiness instead of just being content in what's going on, appreciating the moment, being grateful. And I know it may take a while to get there. Everyone isn't there, because as we've been, I guess, with society, the way society paints the picture of what our life supposed to look like, for, you know, we've been seeing it for a long time, and it's taken people a while to really just focus on themselves and what their life should be, not compared to what we see on the TV or what we see in movies or even what we see in social media. And that has really affected people's joy, if we're honest. If we're honest, people, they have lost their joy based off of comparison. And that's not good. That's not good. Because you have no idea what's going on in someone's real life. Social media only shows, it highlights the good things. And some people only post the good things. And that is okay if that's what they want to do. And then you have some people who are vulnerable, who are transparent, and they post their, you know, some bad moments or not so good moments. But deep down, we don't know what anyone is really going through at home. So we can't compare our state to the next person's. Just because they're happy in that picture does not mean they have joy. They might be smiling in that picture. They might be laughing in that picture. But do they have joy? Like, seriously, do they have joy? And we don't know that, because we're only looking on the outside. We're looking at a picture. You can post anything on social media and make it look like anything. You know, people can be whoever they want, can portray whoever they want to be, and we'll never know who they really are because we don't live with them. We don't really see them. We may pass them in the street, but, and I'm just talking about everyday people, not even talking about celebrities because, you know, we'll never ever see them, but I'm talking about everyday people that we know, whether it's on one level or another, but you just never know the state of a person because that's just how it is. People are going to put on the best face and the best picture because they want you to, you know, perceive it in a way of what they're showing. So that's just how it is. Joy. This is the analogy that's used. Joy is that sudden burst of happiness. Joy is like the elevator in that building that takes you up to higher levels of happiness only for a small amount of time and back. So joy is the elevator, the burst of happiness. Even as I was explaining my moments in Dallas with my dad, when I told you it was such an exciting moment, it was an exciting experience, but I had to come back home. We had to come back home. We had to go back to work, you know. It was like you can't really live in that experience 24/7. That's just not how life works. It doesn't work that way. So it is a burst of happiness. It's an elevator, and I like how it takes you up to higher levels of happiness, but only for a small amount of time and back because, you know, hey, all right, you got to come back to reality. Just like we love vacationing. Look, I got like 3 vacations planned this summer, and I'm excited about it. 3 vacations. But after each vacation, I know I got to come back home. Got to come back to life. Life is not a vacation, okay? Life is not a vacation. We experience it for a moment, and then we come back. So joy is... And sometimes it's some of the smallest things. It doesn't have to be anything that you had to buy or something that you had to pay for. So joy. The last one they have, it says life. Happiness can be experienced from any good activity, food, or company. Again, the things, the material things that you can buy versus joy is a byproduct of a moral lifestyle. Joy is a byproduct of a moral lifestyle. If you're living an honest, good life, doesn't mean that everything is going to go perfect. Doesn't mean that. But if you are an honest person, doing what you're supposed to do or trying your best, you know, because life is hard. Life is hard. And even as a believer, we still make mistakes. We still stumble. We still fall. We're not going to be perfect. But as long as you are trying your best, doing what God, you know, has called of you to do, walking in purpose, then you will have, it will, you know, you'll have joy. It is definitely a byproduct of moral lifestyle. I can only speak for myself. But living a moral lifestyle versus being, you know, shady and cunning, trying to get by on people, I can say for myself, like, I am content with, you know, where I am, like financially, mentally, emotionally. I am content. I have joy. I have peace. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm not striving to, you know, be even greater because I am. So even though I am content, I'm not going to stay here. I still want to grow. I will grow. I'm not going to stay in the same place. I'm not in the same place where I was last year. And I was content last year. And so I am content now. And it is because of my spiritual experiences, relationship with God, the people that I love, the people I care for, the things that I've done, and living a moral lifestyle. Those are the things that have brought me joy. And I do have a couple of scriptures that I would like to read before we go to our prayer and our call to salvation, because, you know, I realize that everyone, they may not have joy. And hopefully the things that I've read, the things that I've called out, have helped you to realize how to find joy, how you can find joy, because sometimes it's like we think it's the things that make us happy, and it's not. And so our first scripture is Philippians. I'm going to leave these two passages with you. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 6 through 7. So Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, and it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The peace of God, talking about the peace of God. And God will give you peace like no other, like nothing else can. And there are a lot of people who may feel like they can make you happy or buy you things that make you happy. But what good is happiness if there is no peace? And my second scripture, we're still in Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 10 through 13. And it says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." So what Paul is saying, look, I'm not boasting of the things that, you know, I have or the things that I can buy or the things that I can get. But no, because I know what it's like. I know what it's like not to have. And even when I didn't have, I was still content. And so I know that everything that I do, everything that I need, whether I may lack some things, but guess what? He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, because God will give me the strength to do what I need to do or to endure whatever I'm going through. So you may lack joy, or maybe you've been looking for ways to find joy, and it's been within you this whole time. Now, people, circumstances, things that happen in the world, we cannot allow those things to take away our joy. We can't give in and allow it to snatch the joy from us. Because there's another scripture that talks about how, you know, this joy that I give it, the world, you know, it's not that the world comes and snatches away, but sometimes we give in to what's going on and allow it to suck the joy out of us. No man taketh away the joy that he gives. So don't let anything, don't let anyone take away your joy. Now, if it's happiness, it's only temporary. It's only temporary. So go back to those things that will give you joy, the inward peace and the contentment. Those are the things that you need to focus on when we're talking about joy. The next time, I'm going to challenge this to everyone, the next time you're feeling like you are lacking happiness or if you're not happy, think on the spiritual experiences, or maybe you need to have a spiritual experience, something that you want to do to help others, the gratitude and the thankfulness. That's where you can begin to find your joy and not just happiness. Tonight, if you are lacking joy and you feel like, I still don't know how to find it, well, you can start by giving your life to God. He has it all. He has it all. He has everything that you need, and that joy, that peace that I've been talking about, he has that and so much more. I know you may feel a little hesitant You may feel like, I don't know if this is going to work, but trust him. And everything that you do, trust him. Give it all to him. He knows who you are, what you've done, and guess what? He still loves you. He loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die for you, to save you. No matter what you've done, we all have sinned. We all have fallen short. So don't feel like you're the only one that has made mistakes or messed up, because that's what God is here for. And he is just and willing and able to forgive you. All you have to do is repent for all of your sins, all of your wrongdoings, and he will forgive you. And so tonight, if you are searching for joy, if you're searching for peace, start with Jesus, and you'll find it there. You will find it there, I promise you. It's the only place where you'll be able to find that everlasting emotion or that feeling. You can't find it in anything else or anyone else, not in people, but only in Jesus. And so tonight we're going to pray that you just hand it all over to God in exchange. Hand all of your sins, all of your mistakes, all of your wrongdoings, hand it over in exchange for the joy of the Lord. For the joy of the Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you just for who you are and all that you have done. Father, we love you tonight because you first loved us. You loved us so much that you sent your son Jesus to die for us. Your word said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And so, God, we come to you tonight asking for your forgiveness, all of our wrongdoings, all of our sins, everything that we have done that may not have been pleasing in your sight. God, we ask that you will blot it out so that it may not come upon us in the day of judgment. God, we ask that you just create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit so that we are able to receive your joy and receive your love and receive your peace. Receive all of your fruit of the Spirit that is available to each and every one of us. God, we thank you for what you have done and even what you're doing right now. Despite the circumstances, despite everything that is going on, God, we know that our trust can only be in you because you're the only one who can still give us the joy that we need, the peace that we need that surpasses all understanding. God, we're living in a world full of violence. We're living in a world full of so much anger and so much fighting and everything that's going on. Even though you told us that it was going to happen, sometimes, God, it still pulls on our heart. But, God, we know that there is still joy in you and knowing you and knowing that you are soon to come. And so, God, we ask that you continue to fill us with your joy, fill us with your peace, so that when these things do happen, that we are not afraid and that we don't lose our joy. And we don't lose our peace, but Father, continue to fill us again in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that you just heal every broken heart, those who are still suffering from their past, those who are still hurt, those who have lost loved ones. God, we know it's hard. You know our heart. You know our pain. But God, we know that you're the only one who is able to comfort and strengthen and heal the pain that we all feel. You're the only one who is able to fill every void in our lives. So God, we ask for your strength. We ask, fill us, oh God. Strengthen us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, continue to protect us. God, continue to keep us out of harm's way, even with the violence that continues from day to day while we're on the roads, while we're on our jobs, even when we're in grocery stores. God, protect us from all of this evil that's going on in this world. God, protect our families. Protect all of our loved ones. Oh, God, we're leaning and depending on you. There is no other one that we can turn to, no other help we know. Lord, we look to the hills from which cometh our help because our help only comes from you. Lord, we pray for those who are in authority, those who are making decisions. God, we ask that you look on all world leaders. God, we know the things that they do, the decisions that they make will make an impact on our lives. So, God, we ask that you direct even them. God, continue to look out for your people. God, look on those who are in the hospital. those that are in the prison walls, those that are in the nursing homes, those who need you, those who are grieving. God, we ask that you touch and comfort only like you can. Those who need to be saved, those who are seeking salvation, those who pray to you tonight, God, we ask that you continue to strengthen them and help them on this new journey. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you because, God, you are still worthy of all the praise. Despite what's going on, God, you are still worthy. God, we still got to praise you. God, we still love you. God, we still worship you. God, you are still the sovereign God. You are still our King. God, you are still in charge. And, Father, we'll forever give your name all the praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, at this time, we're going to have our announcements for Purpose Kingdom Network, and I'll be right back to close us out.
Okay. Real quickly, this is the Private Purpose Kingdom Network, and I'd like to thank each and every one of you for listening for tonight's episode. No matter where in the world you're listening to us, whether you're listening to us via phone or on internet, we just thank you and appreciate your listenership. Anytime we do a live broadcast, we're broadcasting live on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. And anytime we do a live broadcast, you can call in live to our show at using the number 319-527-6091. And anytime you want to talk to the host, you just press the number 1 and we'll get you in. If you want to hear any of our past shows, you can also go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. Just simply type in the host name or the show name, and you can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. Also, PKN does have a radio network at pkn.com. So feel free to listen in to our musical content, where we have 24 hours of inspirational music. And from time to time, we do rebroadcast our past shows. And with that being said, tomorrow evening we will have another broadcast at 9 p.m. It's going to be The Dwelling Place, hosted by Minister Dominique Hudson. And once again, with God's will, God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening for The Dwelling Place with host Dominique Hudson. And that's going to be at the 9 p.m. hour. Please tune in tomorrow at the 9 p.m. hour. All right. And with that being said, that's going to be the end of the announcement. So we're going to bring back on Minister Jackson. And Minister Jackson, the show is back in your hands.
All right. Thanks for those announcements. All right. So before I close out, as I told you at the beginning of the show, I wanted to make sure I gave you the resources that I was referring to earlier. And so the first one I talked about was RAIN, which is Rape, Abuse, Incest National Network. And you can simply go to their website at rain.org. So that's RAINN.org. And like I said, this is, you know, a great organization, a great resource where you can find statistics, where you can find other resources, help, frequently asked questions. Everything that you need is on this website, from being a victim or from being someone who wants to help a victim. So please visit that website, share the website. You know, you can randomly share the website. You know, you never know who on your timeline is suffering and still dealing with the past of sexual abuse. So please share that. It doesn't take anything, doesn't cost anything to share a website. So if you want to learn, you know, even more information about how you can help others, feel free to visit that website. So again, that's rainn.org. And one of the coolest things I love about that website is you're able to put in your zip code and it will bring up the nearest rape crisis center in your area. So wherever you are in the U.S., as far as I'm concerned, in the U.S., I think, I'm not sure how it works for international, but even if you don't live in the U.S., I still encourage you to visit the website if you can, rain.org. And like I said, it gives you so much information, a lot of information on how you can help others or how you can find help yourself. If you want the sexual assault hotline number, you need to give that out if you need it for yourself. That number is 1-800-656-4673. That's 1-800-656-4673. Even if you don't want to talk over the phone, if you Google sexual assault hotline, there is a couple of buttons where you can go to the official website, or you can click on the chat button, and that way you can chat with someone. And it actually takes you to the RAIN website, So even if you're on the RAIN website, you can find the same information. You can talk to someone over the phone, or if you're not a big talker or not ready to really vocalize it, you can talk over the computer through chat or on your phone, however you want to do it. So it's very accommodating. And lastly, I want to give out the resources for male survivors because, again, it does happen to males too, and that's 1in6.org. So the number 1in, the number 6.org. So please feel free to share all of those resources. You can do it randomly, or if you know someone who needs it, hey, reach out to them if they've confided in you and let them know you've come across some resources that may be helpful. So I would like to thank all of our online listeners. I would like to thank everyone who called in and listened. And I really hope that you were able to get something out of tonight's topic, joy over happiness. And I hope you choose joy. So instead of having the pursuit of happiness, pursue joy. Hope you have a wonderful night and a wonderful rest of the week. Good night.
Jesus lived.
He raised me. I will not lose. He saved me. I will not lose.
Step one to see me down. I will not lose.
He saved me.